o'clock. I'm calling to order the June 9th, 2016 Pappy, Missouri Board of Directors meeting. Please raise your pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the director will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report and their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the director will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. Item 3, quorum call.
Fine.
Present.
Right now.
2.
Dunham.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Ross. Cap.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Here.
Poodle.
Here.
Here.
Here. Item number 4, adoption of the agenda.
So move.
Second. Motion to second. Roll call on the motion.
Right now. Dunham.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Cap.
No.
Yes. Yes. Agenda item number 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Motion second. Roll call on the motion.
Dunham.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross. Yes.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Dunham.
Yes.
So. Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and let the record know, as it probably is obvious, Director Leahy has joined the board. For agenda item 6, proof of publication, the affidavit of proof of publication has become part of the current record for this evening's meeting. Moving right along, agenda item 8, agency and association reports. 8A, Natural Resources Conservation Service. We have a written report from Neil Jensen this evening. Move on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Deaver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARD board meeting and the Blue River Basin Tour will be held Monday and Tuesday of next week in York, Nebraska. I will be attending the board meeting. I believe Director Bonnet will have the tour.
Thank you, Director Deaver. 8C, Legislative Report, Josh Blackwell. Moving right along, 8D, we have a written report from Megan Sittler from Lower Flat River Corridor Alliance. Moving on to 8E, USGS 2015 Groundwater Quality Monitoring Presentation and a plan of USGS Nebraska Water.
Hi.
Good evening.
We got a PowerPoint presentation for you guys last year. I'm going to the plan with USGS Water. And I'm going to be discussing the 2015 Groundwater Quality Monitoring. Alright, so I'm going to quickly go over the background of the project and then discuss the 2015 monitoring results and then also discuss the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality. The USGS in cooperation with Energy Groundwater Quality System in 2022 currently monitors groundwater supplies for the and continue to monitor contaminants that have had that job for her, and unfortunately, I had a poor job. And the yellow area in 2015 we focused on the blue yellow versus the area, and in 2015 we collected sites, we selected samples at 20 samples. We selected additional samples called this map shows the distribution of the sites. We sampled for major ions, trace elements. They were analyzed with our quality data. The analyzed sample comprised compounds of 7 well specified compounds. The in-depth test analysis for 7 specific samples. This is an overview of the overall, one network well, but elevated nitrogen. Slide shows there are no nitrogen restrictions in that area. These sites show low nitrogen, or low nitrogen, low 5 milligrams. Again, this is in an area all across the platform. And additionally, our elevated nitrates are nitrates detected above 5 milligrams, and one network well in Sturgeon County showed elevated. The medium and levels are elevated. And also the medium. There are high nitrate in well, and that's high nitrate. Three network wells in the county also have high nitrate. Of the three network wells, moving on to pesticides, as stated earlier, 7 the in-depth analysis for the pesticide in addition to 6 types of adjuvant and dietological 4 types of and 1 type. One site also atrazine, metalloport, corpusine, while all these compounds are far below the maximum. The distribution is 6 of the wells show high detection layers, one way or another, but all detection is well below the maximum. 5 of the wells are these low corpus. Moving on to 2016, we'll start focusing on the upfield alluvial aquifer by upfield and vault fill. Additionally, we're selecting the continuous field bench for seawall clusters, groundwater agricultural data. discuss our. Finally, the NRD is also in the process of a new cluster. These wells will be here for more animals. Current network is for the. Since the project started, we have program is and the data collection. Yearly sampling for the yearly sampling of development. Just monitoring all all of this data is available at our website, on our project website. The website is on UNL. And then all the groundwater quality data.
You mentioned a cluster well that you were equipping it with a pump. They stay in all the time as opposed to being just installed when you need to.
Yeah, perfect.
And how often does that get run?
Dedicated pumps depends on only when we need to. So,
just as needed.
Wells that are high at night, you know what the tip.
I know that they're constantly.
We could test for your ringing.
Yes, we do.
And apparently we do.
You have one site that's elevated premium. Your percentage site and your. And that site, that was part of the uranium sulfide site. Water level. But
what is the name?
It's about 30 microns.
Quick observation. I remember the first year I came on board, I went on that Fort Platte Corridor Alliance kayak ride, and it was surprising to learn that the water coming into it more polluted water out from the farmers. When you put on the map of those locations where nothing detected or low detected, they were of ones that detected high amounts of it. Looks like they're getting more pollution in our district. That's sort of what that's what that is. My question is for both sites that have been above out of 10 most, for over 10 years, what enforcement mechanism is there to say why are these constantly above or what recommendation is, however these are getting included back to normal levels. I mean, it's great that we study it full size, then what?
Very good. also nice that that's why I felt that no wells in other areas. We are continually working at monitoring the wells, trying to get a better idea. Right. So it's hard to put back for everything. We're working.
Will it be another 10 years? Find out before we have it.
I think what we plan to do is data will be worked on for be presenting this today. And in that plan have when we and I'll probably include some always. We don't know about the problem. For instance, like in the spring area, you're the community on it. Drilled themselves another well now. Right? Move away from the area. Everybody's. We're going to be all we look at all the communities where they're doing we're doing the best job. We can work outside. I don't know if there's specific actions we might take in the future or are still kind of up in the air.
But we have a mechanism through the integrated management plan.
Yeah, through the groundwater management plan, which covers the entire area of the district, we would have actions we could take if we meet certain requirements.
Director Bond? Of the 22 wells, six you noted had higher levels of or detected levels of atrazine and propoxine. You didn't say if that was a stable level and or if it was increasing. And are they clustered or are they dispersed?
They were dispersed. And they it's stable. They're very much below the maximum contaminant level and stable. They're not rising. They're not really doing much of anything.
Question regarding high nitrates. Are any of those in areas that are influenced by the flow in the Platte River and the influence of Salt Creek?
Yes, they are in areas where there is interaction between the river and the groundwater system, but that's a highly dynamic moving system. So we try to sample later in the season where the nitrate flushes would already be past the river system.
Director Jeff?
Can nitrates be naturally occurring?
I don't believe so. They can be? Okay. Okay. So, at lower levels, yeah.
Any further questions? Director Frost?
Have you done any tests on all the pesticides and chemicals that people put on their ponds that might be getting into the water system?
We have not specifically looked at those. But right now, we're just focusing on agrochemicals, on the ones most commonly seen in crop usage.
And we really don't have a lot to sample from near the Omaha metro area because we don't necessarily have those different aquifer units right near the Omaha area, right near the urban area.
Any further questions from directors?
It would be interesting, though, to find out if they are actually getting into the system. Good point that Mr. Frost brings up. I'd like to see that data sometime.
Of course, the main focus is drinking water.
Sure.
And, of course, all of the water in those areas isn't being drunk, provided by community. So that is.
And it leads down into the aquifers. Yes.
It can over long.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's one of the reasons we have to focus more on where they're currently drinking water.
Well, I've heard. Blame the farmers. About four times already tonight.
All right, any further questions from directors? All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, moving right along to agenda item 9, subcommittee reports, 9A, ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the West Capio Trail, Giles Road to Millard, Director Patrick Bonnet.
Mr. Chairman, be it resolved that the minutes of the June 2nd, 2016 meeting of the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee of the West Papio Trail, Giles Road, and Millard are accepted, incorporated in the minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, consultant selection interviews. Recommendation that Big Money Workshop JEO Consulting Group be ranked first for the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard professional services, and that they be asked to prepare a detailed scope of services and cost estimate for the project, and that Earhart Griffin and Associates be ranked second.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fowler?
Yes.
Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy?
Yes.
Stephen?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
Woodham?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Greg Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
Kenya,
thank you, Director Bonnet. 9B, Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project, Director Patrick Leahy.
Be resolved that the minutes of the June 7, 2016 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project are accepted. Incorporated in these minutes and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, initial screening of proposals for consultant interviews, recommendation that EA Engineering, HDR Engineering, and JEO Consulting Group be interviewed by the subcommittee in the order as presented on July 7th, 2016 at 6 o'clock p.m. That's all moved.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodham.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
And Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Yes.
1 year is 10 day, 1 day.
And a just housekeeping note, in case Director Leahy will not be able to make it that evening, Director John Conley has been appointed as vice chair and will be chairing the meeting. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to 9C, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
I be resolved that the minutes of the June 7, 2016 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, bids for Hell Creek Grade Stabilization Project. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Valley Corporation for the construction of the Hell Creek Grade Control Sediment Stabilization Project for a not-to-exceed bid amount of $754,653.37, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as to form by district legal counsel. And on behalf of the subcommittee, I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Udo.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Aye.
Ross.
Yeah.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
11K.
Thank you. Number two are bids for aerial application of herbicide for the Lower Platte Weed Management Program. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed contract with Provine Helicopters for the aerial application of herbicide by helicopter in the Lower Platte and Elkhorn Rivers and tributaries, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as is formed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Connolly.
I'm questioning why the amount of the contract was not in the agenda item.
The total contract amount isn't stated in the contract. Basically, the contract approves those unit prices as bid by the contractor. So based on the hours that he works, that'll be what will be paid to them.
But a lot of unit. We have a lot of unit price contracts, and we usually use the multiplier, and the estimated quantity, and the hourly rate.
And when we do that, we usually have a defined set amount of quantity of product or something in construction that we're bidding. In this case, we're unsure, based on the number of acres that we would actually spray each year, how many hours they would actually be out there working.
Thank you.
Yep. Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Gaff.
Yes.
And Sherman.
Yes.
Motion carries 7-0.
Item 3 is a Papio hydrology contract with Fire Engineering. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to waive District Policy 15.2 and execute the proposed contract with Fire Engineering for an update of the Papillion Creek watershed hydrology in a not-to-exceed amount of $167,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public? Good evening, Sean.
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. First, I believe that an update to the Papio Creek Watershed hydrological model is necessary and it'll be a great asset for the future. But I respectfully request this board to vote against this agenda item, citing the following reasons. First, staff is asking the board to disregard policy 15.2, which requires staff to follow uniform procedures for advertising for and selecting firms for the award of contracts for professional services. And this is directly from your policy manual. By ignoring these procedures, taxpayers are not afforded the safeguards established by 15.2. For example, Fire Engineering's may have a conflict of interest with respect to this study since they contributed $10,000 to the Political Action Committee Get the Job Done. This PAC's purpose was to promote the Papio NRD's Flood Protection Bond Authority, specifically to be used for the construction and the engineering of flood control projects. As a major contributor to this PAC, an appearance of conflict exists. Next, during the PPO subcommittee's discussions last Tuesday, staff did not clarify whether or not this contract will move forward should FEMA not approve the preliminary report prepared by FIRA. With this concern, I would ask the board to, at minimum, consider an amendment to approve the contract subject to FEMA approval. I would also look to this board to require additional detailed information regarding the direction of this study. For example, in Attachment 1 to Exhibit A, who will be the stakeholders involved in the six meetings? Will the board be involved in these meetings? Will the public be able to attend the meetings and have input? Who will be involved in the selection of the four modeling locations? These are a few of the items that came to my attention. Other areas to consider will updated information be used for full build-out conditions that were previously estimated to be 2040. I'm sure that number has, that year has increased. Will the 2007 Douglas County, Washington County stormwater policies and regulations be used as part of this study, as well as other newly incorporated regulations? Another question this board should ask is what will be the cost of the entire study? On Tuesday, we learned that the entire study could cost in excess of $300,000. I believe it's important for this board to know this cost prior to initiating this contract. While these issues are not intended as judgment of Fire Engineering's ability to perform the study, they are issues for this board to consider prior to approving this contract before you tonight. In conclusion, while I believe an update to the model should be considered, I also believe it's in the public's best interest to follow the director's policy manual and for the board to be provided with additional specifics. Based on these facts, I am respectfully requesting that this board vote against the approval of the FIRA engineering contract tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Any further comments from the public, staff, or directors? Director Japp.
If we would have, this study would have been done before, would it have been necessary, with the Offutt Air Force Base levy may have met the requirement? Okay. My next question, has FEMA sent a letter requesting this study?
No, we are cooperative partners with FEMA. They're not going to send a support letter with a cooperative partner. We work with them on a daily basis. We sign a contract with them every year to be responsible for mapping. Now, remember, this process has gone on since 2003. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, it's been delayed. Well, I say fortunately because now we've got the ability to get accurate data as part of the mapping. And now remember, $2.4 million has been spent or will be spent. And our contribution has been practically nothing. Zero. And so we could sit here and we could wait and FEMA could produce those maps for $2.4 million. And they're inaccurate. We've got people and businesses that not only are in the floodplain, but with the new maps will be put in the floodplain at a huge cost. So our professional services contracts are not based on price. They're based on the most qualified firm. FIRA has been involved in this those folks that worked there for the beginning. And so you're going to waste everybody's time. Nobody has that data. Nobody has that information. Nobody has that experience in other firms. And so we're delaying. And FEMA said, we want this information now. That's why we executed the smaller contract, to get them the information that they could make an answer. Now FEMA comes back and says, we're not going to consider this. And I believe the question was answered very clearly, and I'll answer it again for the record. We will not enter into the agreement or execute the agreement unless FEMA gives us the okay. That was very clear. Patrick Leahy asked the question. And Amanda answered no. It's a not to exceed contract. We just won't have them do the work. And it goes away. So this is crucial information. And this is stuff that FEMA hasn't even seen in this region. Although it has been worked on and approved in other regions, we owe it to the people we serve. I mean, I don't get that. You owe it to the people that we serve who will be put in the floodplain or in the floodplain if we have the information that they shouldn't be. Talk about a huge disservice. What do we do here? What is our job? Public safety. This is a huge issue. You're talking monumental. That the reservoirs that they've paid to construct, tens of millions of dollars to pay for reservoirs that we constructed, they have a difference. They'll make a difference. And the new data will make a difference. I mean, it's clear. And FIRA is the firm that we think has the best ability to do that. And I think if Mike Sotak was here, he would probably say so. So it's up to the board, but you got our recommendation. And I don't know what else to tell you that would make any difference, but this is a game-changing type of study. I mean, we are on the cutting edge of helping people in this community that no one else in the country really has done yet. So why not take advantage of it if we can? All they can do is say no. and won't cost you anything.
Director Jack.
Since Mr. Sotek said this data could, and I'm not against it, but this data is good for the entire state, and other regions can use it. How come we didn't go to the, and it's so critical, why didn't we go to the legislatures and ask legislators for funding this project if it's going to be used in the entire state? Or why didn't we go to the Water Sustainable Task Force and ask for a grant? Why are we putting our taxpayers for the entire financial burden on behalf of the state?
Well, first of all, the legislature doesn't fund flood studies. And I don't know when they have done that. Second of all, this data is, we've got this data after the sustainability fund applications were even submitted. But we did submit a sustainability fund application to build 6 and 7 that had a huge impact. So,
and you've known this for 2-3 years. Why couldn't we have applied?
Amanda, just, I'm so you're ready to jump out of your chair. I think you have some information. Would be.
I feel like I should explain that. So the flood study and the new information that we have from NOAA on the rainfall distribution patterns. Mm-hmm. So the flood study that has been completed and is, you know, working through the process with FEMA right now, it's not wrong. It's just, it's how everything has been done up until the new information from NOAA came out. So FEMA's not wrong to publish that data, and we're not wrong to move ahead with it. I mean, it's a legitimate study. It's just that new distribution patterns have come out, and so we don't want that study with the old pattern. We want to look at the new information and send the best, most accurate, credible data that we can. So it's not, you know, maybe does that help maybe understand why we, you know, we need to pay for this because this is something that we want to look at. It's not that the distributions from before were wrong. They were been used for a number of years, since the 60s.
I'm not disagreeing with the data and the reason. I'm saying, why can't the state pay for it? Why are we paying for data that the entire state can benefit? And all you have to do is send a bill to the legislatures and ask.
Well, it's not. It is tailored for the Papio Creek watershed. And so the process, I think what Mike was getting at is the process to get this rainfall distribution incorporated into FEMA's approval process is what can be used across the country or the region. You know, it's always specific to where you're at, and specific to the hydrology report is specific to our watershed. So it's not that you can just share that report and it's everyone would use it the same.
That's not what Mr. Sotek said the other night.
He was talking about the process of getting it.
The data is available. It doesn't mean the specific use of that data. So do you think people in Ogallala are going to want to pay for our floodplain maps?
If it's coming through a sustainable grant, yes.
Okay. We might get a letter of support next time. But.
Director Leahy, you have a question.
I had two questions. One of them was one I meant to ask Tuesday night that Sean just asked, about why don't we have a selection consultant process, but I think John adequately answered that. But my other question is sort of on time and process, which is if we're going to FEMA here in another week or so, how come this is on this board meeting? Why wouldn't it be on July's, so to speak?
Okay, so do you remember that slide we looked at with that path? And I know 2019 seems like a long time away, but that's if everything falls in place with FEMA. So this kind of throws a wrench in their plans, us wanting to look at the hydrology. So us having this information by October 1st, mid-October at the latest, is the latest that we can get that in and not disrupt this whole schedule. And it takes a lot of work to do the modeling.
And the soonest we could get a bill introduced is January, and the soonest it would be signed is July. Yeah, so July of 17, we would get, assuming you got all the votes, and the governor approved.
I was just talking about putting this on July.
It's got a time constraint. Although it seemed like a long process, where now we're at the point where they need to move forward. They've got a big investment in this, both this Corps and FEMA.
Director Brown?
I'd just like to say the
subcommittee tonight, this was all out there, folks, if you were paying attention. And this is so logical. They're going with it. It's FEMA running with it. It's on the table. We are doing a disservice if we don't do this. We all said, hey, we all like this. But yet, oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Who freaking cares? We now have new structures in place to dynamically change it. I deal with the modeling and simulation world for the military. We would kill for stuff like this. That's a freebie. And we're arguing right now? This is pure BS. So just knock it off. And pay attention to subcommittee nights. Jeez.
Dr. Frost.
On Tuesday night, there was another hundred and some thousand dollars brought up on the same subject. Why isn't this included in this?
Would that be $150,000 from the partnership, their contribution? It's because they haven't acted on it yet to approve that. So we can't include it in the price until they've approved it. It would be a little premature.
But it's going to cost anyway.
Well, it's going to cost regardless, right. But that may spread that cost thinner.
Yeah, what we talked about, so we have to do a flood study, there's two big components, and that's the hydrology, which is the rain around amount of rainfall, and then the hydraulics, which takes that amount and graphs it basically using the terrain of the creek and other factors. So this is the hydrology portion. So later down the road, we still would need to have someone do the hydraulics because that's already been run. So if we change the numbers and that gets approved, we need to rerun that. We think that that would be about $300,000. So we think this in total will be about $500,000, and we expect the partnership to contribute $150,000 of that. And they vote on that in a couple weeks, and they've been, you know, briefed on it, and I don't really see any issues there.
Why aren't we going after $300,000?
So we don't. First of all, we need to get this piece done to see what it says, to see if that's the smart decision to make to move forward. If it is, and I'll just throw this out there. You know, I think at this time right now that the smartest decision at that time would be to have the FEMA contractor who's already run the hydraulics. It would probably be the least expensive to have them do it. So it's probably going to be someone else, and it'll be a different contract, but it would come as a next step once we see what this says.
Yeah, we have to phase this. We have to get FEMA's approval, and if they say, yeah, we're willing to do this, and this is good, and then we go to this contract. And then after that, then we have to come back and say, do we want to go to the next step? Does it make sense? Does it have that big of an impact that we think it does? And if it does, then we go to that step. And it may be the FEMA's contractor we go with because they've been involved since 08 and doing the hydrology. So another thing with the selection, the consultant selection process, that's a 2-3 month process. And we need the data by October. It's not going to cut it. The legislature's out. Selection subcommittee process is out. If you want to move this forward. And if you don't, then it's dead. And then we go with the maps that they're going to produce, and you've got a mess.
We're kind of going long on this one, long on the tooth on this one. This is an opportunity for us to once again cut some red tape. And for lack of this data, our real estate community has suffered. Our developers are suffering in this community, and this study is obviously going to cost a little bit more, quite a bit more than $167,000. There's no way you can get away with a study this size for that amount of money, and we've discussed that at length. But make no mistake, this is our farms, our businesses, our residences, and our public infrastructure in this area. And it doesn't matter if another municipality may benefit from reviewing the data once we're done. It's going to definitely benefit us. And it's way past due. We're 13 years into this thing. That should have been done a long time ago. We're 4 years past FEMA's remapping efforts. And it's high time, given the plats that are already, the tracks that are already platted in this community, get this information out to the public. So I'll be voting in favor of it. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Any further comments from directors? One more very brief comment from me. The potential benefits that we'll see from this out of the cost of it simply make this a no-brainer, in my opinion. So I reflect the comments of Director Bonnet and Fowler as well. With that, roll call.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Fowler. Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Cross.
Yeah.
Taft.
Upstein.
Leahy.
Yes.
And Shepherdson.
Yes.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 9D, Finance Expenditures and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the June 7th, 2016 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, FY 2017 budget with computation 1% resolution, recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. Be resolved that the Board of Directors of CAPNRD approves the additional increase of 1% in total restricted fund authority pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 13-518 through 13-522, and I so move.
Yeah, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
No.
Bonnet.
No.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
No.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Shepherdson.
No.
Five, yay.
Item number two, Ralston Creek Project, 69th U Street right-of-way agreement with Builder Supply. Recommendation to GM be authorized to execute the proposed agreement. Easement agreement with Builder Supply Company for the Ralston Creek Project, subject changes deemed necessary by the GM, performed by legal counsel, and I so move.
Everyone's going to have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Lane.
As I told the chairman at Tuesday subcommittee, and I just want to make public, I think this is a great project. Unfortunately, this is shooting my childhood dreams of seeing Funplex expand, and I will not be backstabbing my 10-year-old self and voting for this. Other than that, it's all good. So.
Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item three, Big Papi Oceana Project, signed the license agreement with Property Ventures of Marion, Inc. A recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed signed lease agreement with Property Ventures of Marion, Inc. for sign located at 3503 South 84th Street on Big Papi Channel project right away, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM through the form by legal district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion. Director Jackson.
Are we going to go with the 99-year lease, or did we agree on something else?
99-year lease was approved by the subcommittee.
All right.
Thank you, Gene.
Fine.
Yes.
Red
Conley. Aye. John Conley. Yes. Fowler. Yes. Ross. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Leahy. Yes. Thompson. Yes. Poodle. Yes. And Shepherdson. Yes. 11 yeas. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to Agenda Item 10, Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of three resolutions that are on the screen, and specifically move approval of those along with items A through I inclusive.
Second.
A motion and second on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to these items? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ross.
Same.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Shepherdson.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 11, legal update. Any update from our legal counsel?
No, Your Honor.
Jesus.
I didn't know you got a judge.
Moving on. Thank you, Steve. Short and sweet.
Moving on to the pay increase.
Agenda 12, Chairperson's Report. I have nothing terribly exciting to report, so we'll move right along to the General Manager's Report. John Winkler.
Thank you, Your Honor. The May Information Education Report's attached, as well as the report on purchases, construction services, professional services, and personal property for May, as well as the current ongoing district legal counsel activities. The Watershed Partnership Report, minutes of May 26th, are attached, and the next meeting is June 23rd here at the NRC at 10 a.m. Also, we got a correspondence from the Nebraska Extension Office in Cedar County and a thank you letter from Perry and Alyssa Wiseman. Another note, we have met with all the project managers. We've got the initial draft of the budget. We're working through that currently, and then we'll obviously bring that up in July at the July board meeting. So we've got challenges, as always, with meeting all of the needs with what we have for resources, and so we continue to work with project managers, going back and working with our partners to see, for example, if they will continue to need the funds for their project that we've already allocated to them in previous years. We need to carry those over. Can we just eliminate those and free up some things like that? So it's no different than any other year, and hopefully we'll bring you at least for a first draft where obviously the budget will balance, but there'll be a question on what we're willing to put our resources in. So I think we'll have a budget workshop the Tuesday before the subcommittees meet, or on that Tuesday the subcommittees meet before then. And I think that we should take this time to, during that budget meeting, to discuss in a little bit more detail of maybe where we want to focus resources. Going through the budget, I've spent quite a bit of time just looking at the number of projects and programs we have. And I know over the years, and it's called mission creep, you know, you get new ideas and you fund new things, and not say that those aren't all good and beneficial, but you start spreading your resources thin. And so you have an impact, but it starts to get diluted as you get get out there too far. And I think maybe we need to start looking at that and see if we are spreading ourselves a little thin. And maybe that we've got some opportunities where we can really focus more of a, instead of a shotgun, more of a rifle. And we can really focus on a few things that we want to get done now. If it's purchasing property for reservoirs, if it's, you know, building certain things to get it done, it doesn't look like, you know, obviously debt's always a question. Raising property taxes is always a question. So I guess we're going to try to think outside the box and get creative, and we'll throw more ideas of that as time goes on. So not necessarily know if this year is the right year to do that, but we may want to think about preparing everyone for the time when we won't have just a ton of requests for funds, and that we actually take all these resources and put them into a couple of different things that we really want to get done. So just some ideas that we've been batting around. That concludes my report.
Thank you, John. I have a question. The two dam sites that we've gave the okay to buy the land in Sarpy County, what is the status of closing on those sites?
Amanda, you want to fill that in?
We did close on the land for WP7. So that one's closed, and we are finalizing the boundary line, because someone else is purchasing from the family that we purchased our portion of WP6. Someone else is purchasing the north portion. So we're getting that survey line worked out, and we hope to close, we thought, mid-June, and it'll probably be mid to late June.
Okay. And that's actually, you got a question.
Yeah, if we can't make that budget meeting, will it be on podcast, and will that, like, whatever the staff presents, will it be sent to us beforehand?
We typically don't have them on podcast because it's more of a work. It's more of a kind of just a workshop. But I mean, I suppose we could. All the information will be sent, and anything presented. Excuse me.
What day is that?
It'll be the Tuesday of the subcommittee, but
the 12th,
but a little before. You know, that like 5:30. I think we meet or 5 somewhere in there.
Can we, even if the podcast isn't public?
Well, we do have to meet somewhere where we can record it, I guess. We'll have to meet up here, so, which is okay.
Wouldn't it be a public meeting anyways?
Well, we advertise for it, so if the public wanted to show up. There's no public input, but if somebody wanted to come.
That's what I mean. It could be podcasted.
That's because we're all here.
Yeah. So it could be. I see some head shaking. Like, why would we?
Well,
it's a workshop.
Yeah, it's just the way it's a more of an education training.
I like to be.
Educated. We'll get more details on that one.
Director Fowler has a comment.
This is for General Manager Winkler. Congratulations again for Air War College graduation. And when you used the term mission creep, I about fell over backwards. A great military term when we actually spend too much money we don't need to be doing it and going way too far out. So well done using those.
Well, I learned it from my friends in Mobile, Alabama now. So that's just one of their with scarce resources, you kind of have to start reeling in a little bit what you can and can't do, and really look at what your mission is, and are we really focusing on what that should be, or are we getting just into too many, or getting our fingers into too many pots? So,
thank you, John. Agenda 14, informational items. July 4th, the office will be closed. I want to wish everybody a happy Independence Day, happy and safe Independence Day. Next board meeting will be here on July 14th. With that, we are adjourned.
Excuse me, of course.